What's good? It's Marcus, and we are coming up on the launch of Create and Orchestrate, the book I've been working on for the last 5 years. I'm so excited. It's coming out June 30th, and I want everybody to go on Amazon on June 30th, not before, on June 30th, and buy the Kindle edition of Create and Orchestrate on June 30th. We're trying to get that bestseller. I appreciate you. Appreciate your help on this. Look forward to celebrating successfully when we get that bestseller. And now for another episode of Marcus Whitney's Audio Universe.
This is Marcus Whitney's Audio Universe.
Like, you got to do the work. You got to show up and just do the work.
What's up? Monday. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Marcus Whitney Live. Today, I actually have my first guest, but you never got to see this show because it totally crashed because I didn't have my my good equipment at the time. So after I did my first show with my friend David Knorr, I turned around and got a new laptop and upgraded a couple of different things. He was kind enough to come back, do this episode again. I think it's probably even more important that we do this episode right now, given everything that's going on in the world. David is an expert on co-creation. He's an expert on relationships. It feels like we have a lot of work to do together. We have a lot that we need to co-create together. He is a much sought after speaker and advisor, author of many, many books, host of his own podcast called The Curve Benders. So I'm so happy to have on the show today, my friend, David Knorr. David, how are you, my friend?
Marcus, it's good to be with you.
Thank you so much for being here, man, and for helping me work through all the kinks in the system the first time. You were very kind to kind of put up with that, but we've worked through a lot. So anyway, David, I just want to kind of get a sense of, you know, what are you thinking about at this moment? We've got COVID, we've got spikes, we've got all sorts of stuff going on in the world from so many perspectives. What are you thinking about right now?
Yeah, one of my clients named it so appropriately. He called it the double humpback camel, right? It's like the virus wasn't bad. This global pandemic wasn't bad enough. By the same token, I Marcus, I genuinely believe things happen for a reason. And as you and I talked about, that George Floyd just, I can't describe it as anything else other than murder, you know, really blew the top off of just this tension that's been in our country for so long that comes from. And my fear is we've lost the ability for civil discourse. We've lost the ability to sit and just talk through our differences. So you're either right or you're left, and, you know, there's no in between. All right, that's not how anybody comes together in our professional lives, in our personal lives, to resolve things. And we've got to find ways to find common ground. I genuinely believe we have more in common than we believe we do.
Yeah.
And the only way we're going to do that is if we listen and we engage people who think differently than we do. All my friends think exactly the same way I do. And I coach my corporate clients. That's where groupthink comes from.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If everybody around me tells me you're evil, even before I meet you, I'm thinking you're evil.
Right.
It's going to be just this, you know, BC before COVID and AC after COVID. Right? We got to figure out how to live with it. Right. So if your value proposition is predicated by physical proximity, I just think it's going to be a while for us to get back together again. Sorry, but I thought bowling alleys were petri dishes before all this.
Right.
I'm just not going back.
Right. Right. Right.
A lot of people weren't excited about that middle seat on airplane. So I just think those kinds of environments are going to continue to struggle. Yet I've got other clients, Marcus, that I'm really excited because the forward-thinking leaders are seeing this pandemic as an impetus to rethink, reimagine, if not reinvent, key parts of their business. And that's really exciting. So almost like a COVID tailwind to push them into different environments. On the race and the injustice part, I'm practicing what I preach, which is we need more conversations. And we need more conversations and more listening from people who don't think like we do. I'm my story. I'm an immigrant from the Middle East. So I'm olive/white. So I'm reaching out to my Black friends and just asking, how you doing? And how are you feeling? And help me understand what's happening here, because I don't have the background or the history to really understand the pent up frustrations and those kinds of things. And I think those conversations are critical inside our organizations as they're external to it. So you may have asked me what time it is, and I just gave you detail analysis on how to build a watch, but there you go.
No. Look, I think that so much of what we so much of what we're all experiencing right now is good. It is the wilting away of things that didn't matter before, right? And we know that. We know that even though this is super uncomfortable, that we're finally tapping into the stuff that really, really matters, right? The stuff that was always underneath things working. And the health of relationships is, you know, paramount, especially in a time where it's hard to safely reach out and touch people, right? It's hard to build a relationship by being directly in front of somebody, right? Because you can't hop on a plane and go see them, or, you know, in some cases it's just not safe to sit down in a restaurant, you know. What are we learning? We're now months into this process. What are we learning about what really always worked and what we now have to do even more of to be able to create the kinds of relationships that are going to create value for us and for those who we seek to serve? What have we learned?
Sure. So I think we've learned that, or it's been really amplified, Marcus, that are actually fewer, but more authentic, more real relationships have far greater value than the transactional contacts. So when this pandemic hit, and again, I want to stay, I was on a stage end of February speaking at an engagement for Samsung, you know, a couple of weeks right after that, beginning of March, you saw travel just fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
You saw conferences and events getting canceled. And, you know, I speak 50, 60 times a year. My impression was I'm not going to get back on a stage for 12 to 18 months. Right. And as you said, if you can't physically walk down a hallway and see others and hug them and connect with them. And as human beings, we need that tactile interaction, and to touch is really important to us. So I immediately made a list of my most valuable relationships.
Okay.
And I started to reach out. Hey, just how you doing? How are things going? What's happening with you? What are you hearing? What are you seeing? And early on, like I said, you really got a glimpse into this. Initially, it was the supply shock, and then it became the demand shock. And a lot of executives, you know, immediately, you know, took a defensive posture, cutting, you know, non-essential travel and consultants and contractors and what they could. And,
yeah.
And I think a lot of the mindset is now we got to get demand back.
Yeah, right.
And to do
I'm feeling that too.
Right. We got to get demand back. But to do that, I would submit foundational to getting that demand back are your relationships.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
it's,
right.
It's really the breadth, the depth and relevance of your relationships. And I'm coaching a lot of clients right now. This is not the time to sell. This is the time to solve problems. This is
right.
the time to be of value. This is the time to really elevate your creativity and your collaboration, if not your co-creation, and approach really challenges the market, not with the lens that we're the smartest people in the room, we have all the answers, but how do we ask better questions? And who else do we need? I've always said, convey your credibility with the questions you ask, not the solutions you provide. The other thing we're hearing, the other thing we're learning, Marcus, is that the reason you and I are doing this video versus just a call, this is the next best thing to us, you know, being in the room together. So I think this is really important.
Yeah.
And I think more of our colleagues, more of our friends, more of our organizations could use a digital makeover, right? Because if this is the way we're going to interact over the next 12 to 18 months, we better get more comfortable with this as the infrastructure of our lives and our relationships. Does that make sense? Does that resonate?
It does. You broke up just a little bit towards the end, but I want to circle back on one thing that you sort of hooked on, which was that now is not the time to sell. Now is the time to provide value. So, you know, some of us may be in a position where we have the cash to be able to do that. We have some reserves to be able to do something like that. You know, talk a little bit about when resources feel stretched very thin.
Oh, no question. Your ability to maneuver, and that's what it takes right now, right? You got to maneuver. Your ability to maneuver heavily depends on three things. Number one is your balance sheet. Number one is your personal and organizational balance sheet. If I've got a, you know, comfortable financial position, it's going to be a lot easier for me to invest in some of these areas. Number two is your is combination of your industry variance, so what industries are doing well, and your labor flex. How do I take my existing labor, even if I look at it from an organizational or personal standpoint, my core capabilities, and really maneuver those to what my target audience need, more or less of. The last part is my capabilities. How do I, so again, I wrote a quick blog post on this. It's been 90 days since I've been on a stage. But in that same 90 days, I've presented virtually new content 58 times.
Wow.
Because again, if I'm not going to get on a stage for some period of time, I better come up with more relevant content that's of interest and value to my relationships.
Yeah, yeah.
So from those early conversations, remember I said I made a relationship list?
Yeah, yeah.
As I reached out and I asked, how you doing? What's going well? What are you struggling with? Again, listen louder, right? You start to identify what I call faint signals. And Marcus, if I heard something once from you, I think maybe that's an anomaly. You hear it several times, it starts to become more prevalent. And ideally you're thinking, there's a need. How do I go meet that need?
Yep.
So instead of full day educational programs, we, you know, created learning sprints. Instead of, you know, keynote speeches, now I created a video studio here at my home office, and I'm delivering more of these virtual sessions for clients. We've gone to a digital whiteboard for our collaborative efforts for workshops and with client engagements. So that maneuverability is critical. And you're right, it absolutely is predicated on a financial position, which, by the way, in itself is a really good lesson.
Yeah.
Your dad, my dad drove into us. Rainy days come for everybody.
Yes, yes.
And if you're living beyond your means, personally, professionally, you're not going to be prepared for the next pandemic or the next global disruption that comes around.
Right. Yeah. My wife and I, we as soon as this thing hit, we've always been sort of, you know, rainy day folks, you know, sort of the emergency fund kind of thing, you know, that's like paramount. And then, but we doubled down on that, you know, like we were like, the amount of uncertainty that is hit in the world, we need to really not be thinking about spending, big buying. You talked about the digital makeover. Those are the only investments that I made, right? Were the ones that would allow me without going anywhere to communicate better.
Yeah. So two ideas. One, your relationships need the same kind of nurturing. And I've always believed it's very difficult for you to nurture something if you don't prune something.
Yeah.
So before this global pandemic, we're all about quantity. A lot of us were quantity and transactional.
Yep.
I would submit that one aperture that's might gotten really tighter is fewer quality relationships.
Fewer relationships. Again, you know, when you start having multitudes of relationships, it's harder to be cautious, right? You can't go as deep and make sure that the people you're working with are solid, are thorough, that you can deliver everything you're saying you're going to deliver for those people, right? So you pare things down and you get it to a place where it's manageable, but it's much more certain. You know, that all of these different things sort of play into the changes that we're experiencing right now.
And the other comment that I thought might be useful to your audience is a good friend that, you know, Nikhil Shah is head of robotic surgery at Piedmont Health System. Well, he lives a few houses down from me, and he was walking by the house one day. We saw each other. I was going to go get the mail or something. So we kept ourselves physically distant. We said, how you been? What's going on with you? And you know, instead of let's visit, instead of this, he lives down the street. Point is, we got a couple of chairs in the front porch, and we sat 6 foot physically apart, but we got 2 hours, brilliant chance to get caught up. Now, you know, wine and cheese on the porch with Noor has become a regular occurrence.
Oh, that's amazing.
Of inviting, you know, so we, again, I'm telling you, we need that physical interaction.
I agree.
We can't hug or shake hands, but I'm now doing that more often with people that are certainly within physical proximity of, hey, why don't you come by?
Yeah.
We got chairs and a porch and I'll have cheese and wine, but we can physically be distant and still get caught up on both sides. And we need that. We need that in our lives.
And, you know, this is not even business related, but isn't it nice to feel neighborly again? You know, it's like, what happened to that? You know,
right?
We lost that. And now all of a sudden we're looking around and we're saying, hey, you know what? The people that I can most trust right now are the people next door because I see them every day. I know what they're doing. Hey, when was the last time I've had them over on the porch for a glass of wine or a dinner, right?
That's exactly right. So I think it's recalibrating priorities in our lives.
Yeah.
And what I believe is clarity of intent. So if you're intentional about your relationships, they're going to be more top of mind. And, you know, even the old relic of a phone, right? Picking up the phone and calling people, and people can use this session as an excuse. Listen, I heard a couple of guys talk about relationships. It dawned on me that I've done a terrible job staying in touch with you. So I'm reaching out to say hello and touch base. And exactly the way you opened up the session. How you doing?
Right.
How you feeling? What's happening with
right.
you? What's going on with you guys? Right?
Right.
And just getting caught up on both sides, I think is really, really powerful. And I think most people hearing from relationships they know, they like, they trust, they respect. And it can't just be touching base as much as, what can I do to help?
Yeah.
How can I help? How can I be of value? How can I, tell me what crossroad you find yourself at? Tell me what seeds are you planting? What are you harvesting? Right? Those are all great questions that can really bring the conversation full circle. One other comment about relationships you asked, a good friend, Peter Bregman, is author of Leading with Emotional Courage. And I recently had Peter on my podcast, and I said, well, describe emotional courage. And Marcus, I love this comment. He said, if you're not willing to feel everything, soon you're not going to be able to feel anything.
Yeah.
And it's really important for all of us to feel that discomfort, feel just uncomfortable conversations many of us have to have these days and need to have. And challenge a lot of our assumption. That's how we learn. That's how we grow.
Let's talk your book, Co-Create.
Yeah. So for years, I've been talking about if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. So I think the days of any of us walking in with all the answers are really numbered.
Yeah.
So co-creation is about leveraging your most valuable relationships to help you see beyond your own purview, beyond even your own perceived limitations.
Mm-hmm.
And the best description I can give you and your audience about co-creation is think about kids, right? My wife and I just celebrated 24 years.
Congratulations.
Our kids, like most, thank you. I can't believe the woman has put up with me for that long. That's another story. Our kids are the best version of both of us. And you've got a long-term vested interest in their success. What if we brought that same mindset to our business relationships? Not a partnership, not an alliance, not a joint venture, not an acquisition, but truly a co-created solution that extends our reach and our impact far beyond something we could have done ourselves.
That's awesome. So like, tell me about the secret sauce of this book, which I know, but actually tell our listeners about the secret sauce of the book.
Yeah. So number one, you can't co-create with total strangers, right? The relationships, as a matter of fact, strategic relationships have to be the foundation of them. Number two, you want to build on your past success to really start identifying what are the trends, what are the key data-driven opportunities that the other side is not thinking of.
Yep.
And you bring your respective strengths to the ideation. Number three, instead of peanut butter spreading resources across a whole bunch of initiatives, because most of my clients are struggling with what I call initiative fatigue.
Okay.
And the pandemic is a really good opportunity for this. Focus on fewer things, but really build sandboxes to pilot, prototype, test a lot of, you know, few ideas you're going to bet on. And my best counsel and the work I'm doing with a lot of clients is this idea of a portfolio approach to business model innovation. So, you know, an airline, all they know is how to move, you know, people in their traditional networks of hub and spokes and all that. They are the perfect people right now to be thinking about air taxis. And I just don't know who in that, any airline is thinking about that.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, they're used to mass scale and you know, a lot of seats and volume. Air taxis by definition are going to be smaller. So that's a perfect opportunity to go co-create in a whole new market segment based on partially your capabilities, but also really depending on capabilities or competencies by somebody else.
Right.
Gotta bring a vested interest to that success. Healthcare, you and I have talked about this. Phenomenal opportunity right now for healthcare to insert themselves
massive
into corporate conversations and talk about earning a seat at that table, you know, from having clinics on site at corporate campuses to a testing tent before people even come to the facility to educating everybody.
Education. I mean, how important right now in this, you know, we talked before we even started the show about the division we're all experiencing, but like some of the division is literally just about who's got the right information, right? And employers and healthcare providers can really partner to be arbiters of truth, right? To be the authority that people will listen to, right?
And last time I checked, most of my corporate clients are not going to want to have an MD and an RN and a clinic on their payroll.
No.
So what a phenomenal opportunity, and I would submit a fairly profitable one, for a health system to partner with all these corporate campuses, all these corporate, where they have to, talk about demand back.
Yeah.
They have to get their employees back to their facilities.
That's right.
They've got to make it safe for people to come back to a work environment.
That's right.
Phenomenal co-creation opportunities for corporate and healthcare to educate, to bring core competencies, to really build now an environment of health trust in our organizations.
So before we wrap, I do want to spend just a little bit of time talking about this concept of the curve benders. You introduced this concept to the world via a podcast and a series of phenomenal conversations you're having. But what is a curve bender? And I believe you have a book coming out by the same title.
I do. So you, me, and a lot of our contemporaries will write a book and then get out and talk about it. I've always believed I learn as much about my topics after the book is published, because people will read it and give you their lens and perspective. And so what I said on this one, why don't I start talking about it before I even write it or publish it, and get a lot of great ideas that are going to shape it. So in the simplest term, curve benders are relationships that come into our lives and power our nonlinear growth in the future of work.
Mm.
So Marcus, I've been thinking about, I'm 52, how will work for me change over the next 20 years? And I've got six grad students that have done social science research. We've identified 15 forces that we believe will dramatically impact not just work, but the future of how we'll live, play, and give. So I call it kind of future of living. And in that process, to remain relevant, we all have to learn. Learning for most of us, growth for most of us, is a linear curve, right? Mm-hmm. 45 degrees, we learn as we go. Certain relationships come into our lives and they begin to dramatically change that nonlinear growth, which dramatically and profoundly not only increases our value as individual leaders, but really impacts not just what we accomplish, but who we become.
Mm.
I call those relationships curve benders.
Mm, awesome. Awesome. And this feels like, as you're talking about relationships going deeper, fewer going deeper, you know, we have a greater opportunity to encounter those curve bender like relationships, or to ourselves be curve benders for other people, by going deeper, health, you know, just a higher quality of engagement in those relationships seems to, I would imagine, I mean, you're still gathering ideas, but I would imagine one of the things that would make a relationship a curve bender is the quality of the engagement.
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, I delineate beyond great bosses, great coaches, great mentor that transactionally or maybe incrementally improve our performance or execution or results. True curve benders are life coaches. And Marcus, they see the best version of us and they nudge us, they push us to get beyond our comfort zone, because that's not where and how we learn. We learn when a friend of mine, Eric Anderson, says, you got to be willing to be really bad at something.
Yeah.
To learn. You got to be willing to test new ideas and be vulnerable. I've got a whole chapter on destigmatizing vulnerability, candor, failure, asking for help, and curve benders. And you brought up a great point. Most people say, well, how do I meet these people? Where are these magical, mystical creatures?
Right.
A more profound question, and I love this one, is what you brought up. How do you become one? How do you profoundly change the direction and destination of other relationships and really impact their lives beyond their wildest imagination?
Awesome. Well, David, I'm glad we got to finally catch up, get through this episode. Guys, you got to follow David. He's just a brilliant, brilliant mind who is consistently working. So the great thing about following him is from week to week, you're going to get so much new information because it's almost as if he doesn't sleep. You know, if it's not his own idea generation process, he is convening other people to have incredible, impactful conversations. He's got a podcast, a library of books. This is definitely a guy you want to follow. And this is where you can follow him, at David Knorr on Instagram, on Twitter, knorrgroup.com. That's the website. You can find everything. You can subscribe to everything. He has the podcast, The Curve Benders. Go subscribe to that podcast. Just go search for the Curve Benders on Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcast, you'll be able to find that. And you will definitely enjoy following David from this point forward. Again, David, thank you so much for being here with me.
Marcus, great to be with you. I need more friends like you in my life.
Look, man, I learn from the best. I learn from people like you about how important it is to create value. And so that's what I'm trying to do here. And as an author, you know, you sent me your book and I can't wait to send you my book, which is coming out June 30th, Create and Orchestrate. This has been 5 years in the making. I don't think it'll take me 5 years to do my next one. But that first one, Becoming an Author, holy cow, that is a process. And I'm so excited to have this book finally out in the world. You might be listening to this show on my podcast, Marcus Whitney's Audio Universe. It's on Apple, Google, Spotify, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud. Definitely, if you're not already subscribed, please do subscribe. And of course, you can follow me everywhere online at Marcus Whitney, or just subscribe to the newsletter at MarcusWhitney.com. And so that is it. That's all the time we have for this episode of Marcus Whitney Live. We will be back tomorrow with another episode. Until then, let's build a new normal, y'all. Peace.
Thank you for tuning in to Marcus Whitney's Audio Universe.